from Prasad. That's the way to do it. Just hammered for four. He comes right back and uproots his off stump.
Okay, it's about 1 or 1.5 days before the beginning of the second test between India and England. Jack Illing has joined us again, along with Sumit and myself, Arjun. And we're just going to talk about the first test, some of our thoughts about what happened, how we got to the situation where England won that test, what did they do well. And then we'll preview a little bit what we think is going to happen in the second test. Firstly, I feel that this is a big shock to me. I had obviously predicted that the series will end 5-0 to India, which now won't happen. Jack, you'd said 3-2 to England, which I think is very, very far off from that. But we can talk about that when we preview the second test. But I just cannot believe this has happened. And I'm a bit disappointed and sad that a team that has now lost, I think, 4 test matches at home in the last 10 years or something, has lost 2 in the last year and a half. Right, once against Australia and then once now against England in a year and a half, both under Rohit Sharma's stewardship. And it's just, is there something in the way Rohit Sharma is leading this team that he's not able to emulate the way Virat Kohli was doing that? That's my main concern.
And Arjun, when you said that we have lost 2 in the last 3 tests, the third test was a draw test between India and Australia. So India has not won a single test in the last 3 tests.
Right. And that's unfathomable, right? That never happens. I mean, you go in thinking, okay, how many runs will India win by? And that's not being boastful or anything, right? That, like, really, that's the track record that India has had at home. So, yeah, what went wrong, Sumit? What went wrong from India's side?
I think I feel like it was more like India versus Australia World Cup final, where after the match when we saw, it felt like Australia were better prepared with the plans, with their strategies and everything as compared to India. India just went ahead with the normal standard strategy in World Cup final, I'm saying. And that we will, if we won the toss, we'll bat first. But it was not the case with Australia. They were well prepared. The same thing, I think, happened in this test match. I feel strategically, speaking with in terms of strategy, England were prepared better. They played 3 spinners and just 1 pacer. And I think that the last decision that they will not go ahead with Anderson and they will go with Hartley, because in the packing order, I think Rehan, Ahmed and Leach, they were
Sorry. Before you go to England, I just want to know what went wrong with India, but because we'll come
India,
to England.
India, I think it's the inexperienced middle order. If you see that Yashasvi Jaiswal, though he made runs in the first innings, he's new. Ayer, he's new.
As a top order batsman, Yashasvi, obviously.
Yashasvi is new. Gill is new. If you say Ayer, he has not played many test matches. And even KL Rahul. So all these are the players who have like averages in 30s. They have not played much. So I don't think India used to win all these test matches when we used to have like Sachin, Dravid, and Lakshman, Ganguly, all these kind of players. So we used to make, or when even we had like Pujara, Kohli, Rahane, all experienced better when they were in their prime form, and when they were making rank turners, they used to win. But now I think it's backfiring, and I'm even worried for the second test.
I guess the right in like our batting didn't do what they should have in the second, in their second innings, but also in India's first innings, you know, they threw away so many wickets just with lofted shots in the air. So maybe there was a bit of this hubris, this sense of ego that Indian batsmen are just going to destroy the English bowlers, which we saw in the first over, right? The first ball was smacked for 4 and then Hartley was hit. So Jaiswal went all guns blazing. So maybe there was a bit of that, but I feel that did India do something wrong in the way they took on Ollie Pope in the third innings? That was a changing point, right? That was a turning point, not turning point, but like the way India allowed Ollie Pope to dominate. What could India have done differently?
I think it's easier to say now after seeing the result, what has happened in the test match. But I feel the way we were surprised that the way England was batting in the second innings and the way they were making runs, I think even Rohit Sharma and the bowlers, everybody was surprised the way they were playing and they were not ready. I felt they never had any plan B what to do when they were dominating.
Jack, what did India...
I think they had the match in their... When they were, I think, 160 for 5 something, they felt that it's just another session game. And from there, when they went for 400, I think they were clueless.
Yeah.
I think this Indian side really struggles to deal with pressure.
Yeah.
I think when the crowd goes quiet and they're up against it and the other team takes it to them, they seem to go into their showers a little bit. And I think the second innings, when they're chasing, you see, they face 70 overs, which is probably enough. Well, I think that's enough overs to have chased it down. But you look at like the economy rates of the English bowlers, they didn't really go after him at all. And they just let him bowl. And I think if they carry on with that kind of mindset, then they'll get themselves into trouble. Because you saw in the first innings, like the aggressiveness of Jaiswal just completely... but like England didn't know what to do, and they put him to the sword. Hartley looked lost, and that approach is what I think they need to take, because it was stodged what happened really to them.
So what happened to Hartley? How did we see two different players on two different days?
Look, I've made my thoughts known on this to everyone so far, but I don't think he bowled particularly well in the second innings. I think India just let him bowl.
Okay.
And they let him get him into a rhythm. Okay, he took a couple of wickets early doors and that got his confidence up. But I think if they'd gone after him, they would have been able to hit him out the attack. But yeah, for him to take 7 wickets, I thought like he was hitting decent areas, but didn't think he was bowling incredibly well.
I think this always happens, especially in these games that India loses or that go to the wire, that there's this one opposition spinner who's probably not even their primary spinner who ends up taking 7, 8, 9 wickets. I think in, was it 2019 or something when India lost against Australia, it was Stephen O'Keefe who picked up a bunch of wickets in an innings. Ajaz Patel, we know, has picked up 10. Hartley now. So this often, I think, who was it in the last Australian game? What's it? Kunaman picked up 7 or 8 wickets. So, is it that India is not prepared and India is focusing on seeing off the main bowler, in this case for England, Jack Leach, and then not preparing themselves well enough for the secondary bowlers?
Arjun, one thing I think is that India did not bat that bad. Even if you pick up the series versus Australia or the England series before that, India just used to bowl out oppositions under 100 or between 100 to 150. Even in the last series against England, when India won it 3-1, India played 7 innings. Out of 7 innings, in 3 or 4 innings, they were bowled out at around 150, 140, 130. This kind of score. Even versus Australia, they got bowled out in 100s. Even on spinning tracks, Indian people, they are getting all out between 100 to 200. It's just Ashwin and Jadeja and Akshar, they are making sure that the opposition, they just make less runs than India, which didn't happen this time.
But then what did England do well? Is it that England were counter-attacking? You could call it bass ball or whatever you will. But is it that, like Jack alluded to, India did not show that aggression in the second innings? Is that why England did well?
One thing, before we switch to Jack, one thing is that even when India were playing the fourth innings and when they were chasing, I wrote when in our WhatsApp group that I felt that India did not score enough runs in the first 15 overs. If you pick up the first 3 innings.
In the second innings, first 15 overs is the second innings.
Yeah, second innings of India and fourth innings overall. If you pick up the first 3 innings, 2 innings of England and 1 inning of India, everybody scored at 5 or 6 run rate within the span of like 1 to 15 overs. That is the time when ball is new. It's not gripping that much. It's easier to play. And when the ball is between 55 overs old to 80 overs old, in that time, the scoring is not that easy, but you're not giving away wickets because the ball is pretty soft. And you can, even if it is turning too much, you can still play. Even when we saw our tail enders, when they were, it gets easier. So the tricky part is between 15 to 30 or 40 overs. When the ball is semi-new and it's gripping too much, so it comes in sharply. So it's very difficult at that time.
Yeah.
So India,
but we're talking about England now, right? What did you're saying that England did this better than India?
Even England lost the wickets during that period of 15 overs when England lost, I think, 4 or 5 wickets. But they made sure they are making runs after that. And again, they made runs when they took the second new ball. I think India missed out when they started chasing. They were over defensive. In the first 15 overs, India just made 40-45 runs. They were going at 3-3.5. I think they should have scored at least 20-30 runs more in that period.
Yeah, to answer what you're saying there, Rajan, with the, what did England do better than India? I think batting wise, they swept a lot better, especially the reverse sweep. I think India scored maybe like 9 runs in the test match from the reverse sweep. England scored like 80. And then also I saw a stat where England scored more runs off the balls they middled. India actually middled more balls at a higher percentage of balls coming out the middle of the bat, but they weren't scoring as many runs with them. So they weren't making it count. So they're hitting the ball out to the fielder on the boundary, jogging a single maybe. Whereas England were finding the boundary more, they might have been a bit more scratchy and didn't look as confident or as composed, but they, when they hit the ball, they made it count.
Is that because England's field placement was more defensive or England's bowling was in the spots, in the right spots more?
I think the fourth innings probably has a big bearing on that, those statistics, given that India were the ones smashing it around in their first innings. But to focus on England and especially Pope, it's a case of even with the field out, when they're trying to bowl at one of them, he's still finding gaps and still keeping the scoring rate up. There wasn't a point in Pope's innings where he just rested on his laurels and thought, oh, I'm just going to try and just bat it out and bat time here. He saw even when he got dismissed, he's trying to do a reverse sweep off of Bumrah. There was the intent was there the whole way through with him.
Why is the reverse sweep a good shot to play? Why is it important?
Because I think it's so hard to set a field to. You set a field for something you're gonna bowl, and you see players now, they reverse sweep and it's a premeditated shot, and they'll take a ball from well outside the area you think it's going to be, like leg stump, and they'll still put it through point. They're just so well versed at playing those shots now. And generally, for especially for spinners, you won't have someone on the boundary behind square on the offside. So if you beat the ring, it's 4.
But you know what's interesting? You're saying it's an attacking ploy. But I was reading, I think it was Ben Duckett who said this, who said that for him, the reverse sweep is one of his strong defensive shots. And he treats it as much as any other defensive shot, like a forward defense. He was comparing it to a forward defense. And his reasoning was simply that he's comfortable playing that way. It comes naturally to him. And so he doesn't see that as a very risky option for him, which is, to me, bizarre, right? I mean, forward defensive is, you know, we're always taught that a forward defensive is that way to protect your wickets. So I can't see how he's doing that, but if he's saying it, he's a better player than I am. So there must be something in it.
Yeah, they're just so well drilled now. And it's probably what T20 and one day cricket bleeding into test cricket. But they just practice it so much. And it's just the new approach from England under McCullum is just to attack, attack, attack. And they will just look at the field and go, where's my boundary shot from here? And
what is Bazball and is this Bazball?
Look, there's aspects to it, but the batting wise, it's about playing your shots and being aggressive and showing intent. It's not about trying to bat as many overs. Ironically, the second innings, England's second innings, is the most overs they've played in an innings since McCullum has come in. which I think was 104 overs. So even when we scored 600 against Pakistan, we still did it in less overs than that.
I think it's baseball is not about hitting the ball hard every time. It's just showing a little bit more positive intent. Let's say if you feel that the team has played 50 overs in a particular inning, baseball means scoring that extra 30, 40 runs than what you should have scored on a normal, regular routine. That's all.
Remove the fear of getting out as well. Sorry to speak over you. Just not being scared of getting dismissed from playing a shot. Like, if you think the shot's on, just take it on. And if you get out, then so be it, which is just such an un-English approach to the game. But it's working so far for us.
Do you think there's anything wrong in this election from either of the two teams?
What do you think, Sumit?
Sorry? Can you repeat the question?
Do you think the selection for any of the two teams was not up to the mark?
I think after seeing the result, it feels like that selection of Siraj, India same could have gone the same way the how England went ahead with their 11, playing all the spinners and just one pacer. India should have done it same because I think Siraj only bowled 11 overs in the entire match. And
because he's there, right?
And he's the worst batter what we have. He's not even like Bhuvneshwar Kumar or somebody else who can bat a little bit. No, he just can't.
Yeah, the problem is that India didn't have a batsman who can bowl. Like Joe Root was that option for England. India doesn't have anybody in the top six batters.
But still, India, if they would have gone with three, the regular spinners, Akshar, Jadeja, Ashwin and one pacer, still would have been okay.
No, but who would you have replaced Siraj with? Would you have replaced him with Kuldeep? But that doesn't
either Kuldeep. I feel that even in the last podcast, I said we should have gone with Kuldeep just to add the variation.
Yeah.
Because both the pacer, it doesn't. I don't know. I don't feel after seeing the selection of England, I was very certain that India should have gone the same way.
Jack, what do you think about England selection?
I think they nailed it. I think Hartley was the left field pick, but he obviously delivered with bat and ball. I think they're really brave to go with four spinners, pretty much with Root bowling as well, and the one seamer. And it's a brave call to leave James Anderson out. Like, his record in India recently has been fantastic.
I think that call was spot on because only thing what they would have discussed in the before declaring the 11, whether they should go with two, apart from Root, two spinners, two pacers, or three spinners, one pacer. And if they would have gone with two, let's say Anderson and Mark Wood, definitely they would have left out Hartley. And they would have gone with Rehan Ahmed and Jack Leach. I think this call, taking Hartley over Anderson, I think it paid well.
Yeah, I think that was the deciding factor for England in the end, I think. I think Ahmed didn't bowl particularly well. Thought India were right to go after him and attack him. And he might be at risk for the next test match. But then again, he scored some important runs down the order. So, yeah, they probably did make the right decision in selecting him and giving themselves more bowling options.
One question. Do you think when you reverse sweep a lot and when you are hitting a lot of, let's say, fours consistently, does it hit the ego of the bowler?
If 100%. Somebody
is, yeah, I think it was the case.
Ashwin
especially Ashwin, he was not liking it when he was getting hit for reverse sweep.
How dare
and
you?
Then he was going for the fuller balls and the arm balls, a lot of fuller arm balls for which they were easily taking singles. I think even if you are bowling and somebody is hitting, rather than a cover drive, they are hitting you two fours with reverse sweep within a over, it hits your ego a little, really bad, right?
Yeah. These guys have been so used to just bowling, settling in for long spells and bowling 15 overs at 2 runs and over and picking up a few wickets and having the attack go turned on them and the roles reversed was good to see. Everyone's been saying you can't go and play that way in India and you'll get found out, but sure, they've gone and won a test match now. So, be interesting to see how the Indian batsmen respond to that. I think they'll start playing a few more reverse sweeps and sweeps and that now.
Yeah.
Today, I was reading India's batting coach. he took this press conference and he said, we are not going to copy anyone. We have our own style of play. So we will use the depth of the crease and we will go to the pitch of the ball and we'll use our legs and everything. After 20 minutes of press conference, when all these press people, when they were looking at the net practice of Indian batsmen, everybody, the day, I think the day started with Kuldeep Yadav started the batting today in the nets. And from Kuldeep Yadav till the last guy, Sarfaraz Khan, who batted, everybody was reverse sweeping. Everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was so entire day, it was all about sweeps and reverse sweeps.
Let's look. Yeah, let's look forward to the second test. Jack, first, let's talk about England's potential team. Of the people who played the first game, is there anyone who's unavailable for the second game? And therefore, what is England's team going to be?
Well, Jack Leach has been ruled out. So they'll have a decision to make over who they'll bring in to replace him. There's a few different options they could, I think they could pick from four different people. So I'll break them all down. Bashir is probably the most obvious and like-for-like pick. That's
because he's a right-handed off-spinner.
He's a right-handed off-spinner, yeah. So he offers us... I mean, it means we have one specialist bowler of each discipline. And again, he's been picked on his attributes, a bit like Hartley. So after seeing how well Hartley did, you can kind of understand why they might want to give him a go and see if they've magic strikes twice on that. You either have Anderson or Robinson as seamers if they decide to go with two seamers. I see there's been a lot of chat about this pitch might be a bit more conductive to seam bowling, which I don't know. I'm yet to be convinced on that. But yeah, so they could go with either of them two and maybe one of them might come in for Wood anyhow. Not sure if he'll be able to play two tests on the bounce like these. But then the left field pick is someone like Dan Lawrence, who was he was Brooks' replacement after he went home. He's a batsman, but he does bowl. He bowls some really filthy off spin. But he would be a bowling option. He bowls quite a lot of first class cricket, so and he played in the last series here. He actually was one of our better batsmen in that series, so he'd give us extra batting and still would be able to offer something with the ball. So yeah, there's a few different options there. I'd like to see him be bowled and pick Lawrence. I think the batting is definitely something we need to improve, and we might not need so many overs. Leach didn't really bowl too much anyhow. So I think Root and Hartley can do the bulk of the overs. Armour can throw a couple down, and then Lawrence can fill in when needed to. But yeah, be interesting to see who they do go with.
Okay. Do you agree with that, Sumit?
I think they will... ideally, they should go with Bashir for Leach. And the rest depends. I feel they should play Anderson instead of Mark Wood. Just because he can utilize Indian condition, even if it is a ranked runner or spinning tracks. I've seen him in the last series. When he uses the red reverse swing, he's really lethal. He was the only pacer from both the side who was picking up wickets in the last series. I was surprised that they are not using Anderson and they are using Wood just for his pace.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting.
The pitch seems to, like Jack said, it seems there seem to be these thoughts that it could be slightly seam friendly, but also it's
From the last, though, tomorrow we will know, because Stokes has said that he will declare the 11 tomorrow after looking at the pitch, but till now they are saying it's a dry black soil pitch. They are still keeping it ranked runner. They are not keeping it. Though everybody, Harbhajan saying and a lot of people, everybody is saying if India goes with a turning pitch in the second test, it will be a suicide. But
okay,
till now what I have read, it's going to be a turning track.
So India is going for suicide option.
Yes.
But I'm not understanding how the pitch can be so different to what it was before, because Vishakhapatnam has had a couple of tests before and they've always been, they've been very high scoring games, especially the first innings. 400, 500 run scores being put up in the first couple of innings. So, but you're saying, Sumit, the opposite. You're saying that rank turner and hard to play, black soil, 2-3 days match.
I think what I have seen is, since Rohit Sharma and Rahul Dravid, since they have come in picture as coach and captain, apart from the last test when India and Australia, they were playing, barring that, India has always prepared rank turners
for why? All the matches. Why? Like, if conventional wisdom and your pundits are saying that that's a bad idea, then why would Rahul Dravid won that?
I think only Rahul and
what's the last pitch? Was the last pitch a rank turner? Like, we got 4 days cricket out of it, and there was a lot of runs scored on it. I felt like this pitch, it did turn, but the spin was quite slow. You know, normally it's the pitches hold a bit of pace, and then they shoot through a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. That, I mean, that's what Ashwin needs. Ashwin especially wants that pace bounce spin, everything. Right? He needs that support. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it was a rank turner. No, in fact, England spinners got more turn than the Indian spinners did. I'm not too sure. I don't know what to expect. From India's side, I don't know if India will go with four spinners, especially when you've lost Ravi Jadeja. Because let's talk about India's team, right? So India will lose two people for sure who've played this first match. One is KL Rahul and one is Ravi Jadeja. So these are big names to fill. Now, the obvious choice for the batting is that KL Rahul is replaced by one of the two newcomers, the two debutants, Rajat Patidar or Sarfaraz Khan. My feeling is that Sarfaraz Khan is by far the better batsman. We know this from, you know, his history, Sarfaraz's history playing at domestic level, but also the 160 odd that he scored run a ball a week or so ago against England Lions. However, I think Patidar will be picked for one. It's just a gut feeling, because Patidar was picked as the first replacement when Kohli was taken off the team ahead of Sarfaraz Khan. So he's first in the pecking order, even though Patidar was picked maybe as a top 3 or 4 option, and now you have to replace a number 5/6 batsman, which is Sarfaraz Khan. So I still think Patidar will be picked because he was first choice. Also, I would not mind Patidar being picked much, because I think Patidar is exactly the way Jack was describing earlier on this episode, a more aggressive batsman who will use the sweep and the reverse sweep. And he will do that counter attack, which I don't know if Shubman Gill or Shreyas Iyer, given his form, will be comfortable doing. So I think, I don't know, I think either of them is a good enough replacement in this situation. So before I go to the rest of the team and Jadeja as a replacement, Sumit, what do you think about Patidar versus Sarfaraz Khan?
I feel the guy who will be sweeping in the nets better will get picked in between these two.
And Sarfaraz is a good player of spin, right?
I think.
And he's an attacking player also.
I think, ideally, they should pick Sarfaraz because he's more attacking player, and India needs somebody, a good attacking player in the middle order right now. Yeah. I'm not very sure. I have not seen the stats of Rajat Patidar, the number of runs at what strike rate he has scored in first class. His first class strike rate is 53. Overall, Rajat Patidar, where Sarfaraz Khan's strike rate in first class is 70. It's far superior. Yeah. He is a much more attacking guy. So, at an average of 70 with a strike rate of 70, both average and strike rate are at 70. So, he's much more aggressive than Rajat Patidar. And I think...
No. It's not about aggression. I think Patidar is also a very bold player. Actually, I can't say Sarfaraz is not. I think both are good options, you know. Personally, I'd pick Sarfaraz also, yeah. I don't know.
I want them to pick Sarfraz. I want to see him.
Oh, okay. To see him. Okay.
Yeah, I think
earlier also I've said, not on the podcast, but I think when we were discussing that, when India was picking Patidar, they were picking him that he was not supposed to play in the playing 11. And if the person, if you're not supposed to play in playing 11, I feel India will always go with a better fielder. For example, when there was question, when they were supposed to pick somebody for...
good point.
Yeah, you think, because when at the last moment, when Virat Kohli pulled out because of his personal reasons, India was supposed to pick a batsman, but he was supposed to be the 12th guy, 12th or 13th guy. So why to pick Sarfraz or Pujara and have a... They will always pick a better fielder, because in test match, always you will see that one or two... your reserve players, that they are on the field. So why to have Sarfraz in that?
Okay, good point.
So now when the situation has that somebody has to play, then the entire scenario changes. Now you want to go with your best batsman, the guy who is in form, who can sweep, reverse sweep, everything. I think India might go with Rajat Patidar, but I think it should be Sarfraz. Because now the question is not who will field as a reserve player. I think it's about the playing 11.
Is there a situation where both of them make their debut at the expense of perhaps Shubman Gill?
I don't think so. I think India will still go ahead with Shubman Gill for second test. They will not drop him for second test. Yeah, once Virat Kohli comes into picture and KL Rahul comes into picture, then definitely I don't see Gill playing the third test.
So basically, if Patidar is picked, then what does Sarfraz Khan have to do to get picked? Because now there is a situation where there is no KL, there is no Kohli. He needs another person to be out of form like Gill or Iyer to get into the team. So he needs three people to be dropped in a way before he can fit in. It's very hard for him to play, right? Very hard. Yeah, I hope he gets to play Test cricket for India. Be it at home or away, sometime. I mean, I don't like going too much into whether a player is deserving or not, because I think a lot of players are have gone through various different things that we don't know about. But what is best for India as a team? I think that answer is hard to say that Sarfraz is not a good option for India. Fine. So let's. So what we're saying is that India goes with Rohit, Jaiswal, Gill, Iyer maybe moves up to number 4, and Sarfraz / Patidar, whoever it is, could be.
One more reason I would like to say that why India should look at Sarfraz more than Patidar. India cannot have like 4-5 batsmen who are all format players. Like India developed Pujara.
Why not?
Because I think Patidar, they are already looking him at Patidar for one day. I think he has already played
He played the South Africa game, and he played T20 also. But why can't they have all format?
Sarfraz is the guy who is not playing IPL, though he didn't get pegged. But he focuses a lot on first-class matches. He focuses a lot on longer formats. And India need 1-2 players like that who are focusing on the longer formats, like Pujara, like we used to have. I think India should invest more in Sarfraz. They should give him chance more than Patidar.
I think that seems like a beautiful thing. When the IPL is going on, instead of playing IPL, you'll go and you'll play county cricket for Durham or something like that. Seems very beautiful to think of. But ultimately, I don't think it cares. I don't think it matters if someone is playing 1, 2, or 3 formats. You pick the person who's best for Test cricket, and maybe playing T20 helps them become more experienced. Maybe it detracts from their focus. Both could be true. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't disagree with you, Sumit. But I just think that personally, I don't... my mindset and philosophy is that I don't put too much weight on that. So, but anyway, we don't know what the answer is. It'll be good to see.
I think we'll know. They are playing for India tomorrow. Anyway.
We'll know. So, number 6. Now, this is the interesting one, right? Jadeja is number 6. But he's not playing. So we need a new number 6. Could it be
both? Going to be Washington Sundar, not Kuldeep. Definitely, Jadeja's replacement has to be Sundar. Because with if Kuldeep comes into picture at place of Jadeja, India batting looks very weak. Inexperience.
Does it really look weak? I mean, Akshar Patel has proven that he's a capable bat whenever we give him the bat and home.
Let's say Akshar comes at number 6. Yes. Then after what? Then 7 Bharat, 8, what about 8, 9, 10, 11?
Ashwin,
then we will have
Ashwin,
Siraj.
Come on, we have Ashwin at 8. And how many more batsmen do you have? And Kuldeep is not a terrible bat. I mean, having Kuldeep, Yadav level batsman 9 in India is not a bad thing.
Adding Kuldeep in place of Jadeja means you are adding one person in the tail.
Yes, but I'm adding a way better bowler.
You all these test matches are going to be there will be a difference of within 60-70 runs. All test by either any team wins, like either England or India, I think at last it's going to be a difference of 70-80 runs only.
Yeah, but then why do you even need so many bowlers? And then you might as well go for more batsmen if it's just batting that matters more.
Kuldeep should play, but at least in the place of Siraj. So we should
Okay. Wait, now you want too many bowlers. Now you want 5 bowlers, even though you're saying that batting is...
No, I am saying that Siraj is not going to be useful if India produces the same Hyderabad track. So I will tell you my 11, what India should go ahead with. Rohit, Jaiswal, Gill, because they're definitely going to give him another chance. Then number 4 will be Iyer. Number 5 should be Sarfaraz. Then number 6 should be Washington Sundar. 7, Bharat. 8, Ashwin. Akshar or Ashwin. Then Ashwin and Kuldeep and Bumrah. This should be the playing 11.
Okay, so what is Washington Sundar going to be contributing with the ball as a fifth bowler that already Ashwin plus Akshar and Bumrah and Kuldeep are not able to do? Because he's the same type of off-spin bowler as Ashwin, who doesn't get that much.
Job of Akshar and Sundar will be to destroy Hartley.
What do you mean? Batting?
Yeah, to play good enough left-handed. Now see, if we go ahead with this, we will have like 3 left-handers.
Okay, wait, hang on. So you're literally choosing Washington for his batting skills and not his bowling skills. Bowling is a bonus.
More for his batting, less for his bowling.
Then why because don't you just pick Sarfaraz and Patidar both then?
I think we need 4 spinners going because we will have Kuldeep as leg spinner. We can have Ashwin. See, even in this, when we saw they were struggling with the line length, Ashwin and Jadeja. And then we were calling other bowlers, Siraj and everything, who were useless, just to give them a break. There is no, I don't see a point. So we should have like 4 spinners going. Just look at them, how beautifully they bowled, even when they were revolving, the England spinners.
Yeah, I don't know if you need, I mean, Rehan didn't bowl that much, right? I mean, do you need so many spinners? I don't know. I don't disagree with your team too much, but I feel that, you know, you yourself raised a good point that it's going to be close matches, 60-70 runs, so you need more runs on the board. And I don't think India is going to drop Siraj. I think Washington could be the right replacement for Jadeja at 6. And then you've got Akshar and Ashwin. But that works because you need a third spinner who can bat, because you have to keep Siraj and Bumrah both. But if Siraj is dropped for Kuldeep Yadav, then I don't think you need Washington Sundar at 6. Then I think you pick the pure batsman. I will be more comfortable if Patidar is playing at, let's say, 6 or 5 or whatever, than if Washington Sundar is playing, even though Washington can play the left-handed against Hartley and Rehan Ahmed. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Shoaib Bashir becomes the guy who's going to take 8 wickets, and then Patidar is the guy who destroys his career, right? So I want to see that happen. Yeah. Anyway, prediction. Who's going to win?
I think India win.
Why?
I think they'll come out and attack the English spinners, and it'll be the difference. Pope's innings was the big difference between the sides there. And you can't be relying on someone to make 196 in every test match.
Betfair has India as heavy favourites, 1.4, and England 2.8. So they are agreeing with you. They're saying that India has twice the chance of England, which I think is... That's generous, but especially given the last innings, last match. But I think it's the right direction. Yeah, India probably 55-60% likely to win. So, yeah, I think. But if you had to put money on somebody, you would put money on England because 2.8 is good odds.
It is, but you would have got fantastic odds if you'd put money on us after day two.
Yeah, but nobody would do that.
I think it was 10 to 1.
And that was a time when you were thinking England should probably stop all baseball and India will win by a million runs. Yeah, so I don't want to talk about that. Make me remember the World Cup. Yeah.
I think India will come back. They've got a point to prove and there's a couple of fresh faces and I think they have to learn from their approach to trying to win the game in the last innings was just to try and hang in there and accumulate the runs over a period of time. Whereas now I think they will accept that they have to attack and it's going to be a case of you have a set amount of overs, you're going to be bat and try and score as many runs in that time frame.
Any big, bold predictions? Any single player doing something? Or not doing something?
Just trying to think as you said, bold predictions. I think Rohit Sharma will score a century.
Same. I was going to say the exact same thing. India is going to bat first and Rohit Sharma will score a century. That was mine.
Yeah. He actually looked really good in the last test match. And I thought like it was his wicket. When he got out, I actually thought, shit, we might actually win this game now.
And I think he scored 2 centuries in 2 matches in Vishakhapatnam before.
Yeah.
Sumit, what do you think? Good.
I think India will win this match because last time India lost 2 matches in one series was in 2012 when India lost against England last time. So India has not lost 2 matches in single series since then. But I am worried about one thing. One, that India is going pretty inexperienced with the batting lineup. Still, it's not a worrying factor. The worrying factor is when I read the article today that India was only trying sweep and reverse sweep. I think India should back their strength if they are going to try something which they don't do usually, it may backfire. England, they must have practiced, I don't know how many times these kind of sweeps from how many days. And you're right. I think just within 3 days, you just can't change your batting style. I think it may backfire if they... Yes. India should back their own strength and I think they will win. But if they try to copy baseball at this moment, it will backfire.
Okay. Did I give you my prediction? I mean, I kind of hinted very strongly many times that India will win, I think. And I think Rohit Sharma probably will score a century. Even though that's less likely to happen than it is to happen. But that's my bold prediction. I think that's it. I don't know. Like, I don't have any other prediction over there. I mean, I said at the beginning of the series that Ben Stokes will have 5-0. Only 1 innings out of 10. I don't know if I count that first innings as his 1 innings, maybe. But if I do, that means that he's going to have 2 failures in this test match. So let's see. I want to see Ashwin get Ben Stokes out pretty early. Yeah, I'm hoping that happens.
Yeah. It's good fun watching him with the tail. Like, I see the India took the same approach as Australia and just put everyone on the fence.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I can tell you on the match starts on Friday, right? I will tell you Friday, India time, 9:15 a.m., who will win the test match. Once the toss is done, I will tell you.
No, tell us now.
Before the first ball is bowled.
Tell us now.
I think, again, toss is going to be huge. If England wins the toss, and with this such batting lineup, I think they will have the best chance to make it 2-0. They are not going to get this chance again.
So basically, you're saying whoever wins the toss wins the game.
If India wins the... Yeah, I feel so.
It's an interesting point, though, because England have been bowling first when they win the toss, and they actually went and decided they were going to bat first, given the conditions, and not wanted to chase in the fourth innings. So yeah, I think they'll stick with that approach and say where to win the toss.
Yeah, in India, it's very hard to bowl first.
In India, I don't even remember last when somebody bowled first in a test match after winning the toss. I don't even remember. Because in England and Australia, you still have pitches that on the fourth day, 250, 280, 300, 300 plus are getting chased. The batting track are still good on day four. In fact, they get better.
First day is conducive to seam.
So in India, the day one track is the best to bat.
Yeah. Cool. Maybe we'll try and do another episode after this second test match ends, and hopefully the test series will be well alive at one apiece, and Jack will be lamenting all of the new bowling attack that England will have with Shoaib Bashir and perhaps James Anderson. Hopefully that happens. Hopefully we see some new.
Just one question before we close. Just one question before we close. Let's say if Sarfaraz debut on Friday and he scores a century on debut, then what will happen when KL Rahul is fit for the third test and Rohit is coming back?
Yeah, Virat is coming back.
Yeah, Virat and KL Rahul, both are coming back for the third test.
So that depends if Gill is not performing well. Then he can step out.
I think he might score a ton as well.
Gill and one more player has to go out if Sarfaraz scores century on debut.
Sarfaraz, I can definitely see him scoring a century as well.
I don't even see him being picked, unfortunately. But let's see.
Yeah. They're scared.
They're scared. Cool. Let's chat again. Good luck to England. And good luck to India.
Yeah.
Good luck.